I'm Leanna Shields, and you're listening to the Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I have with me Betty Heckman, here to talk about her books, writing, and all things cozy. Betty, would you like to introduce yourself to my Snoops and Sleuths?
Sure. Well, have my name. I write four mystery ser cozy mystery series, and today is actually the book birthday of Not Dead Again. That's not with a K, as like knots, which is the 10th Yarn Retreat mystery and my 30th book. The blurb for that series is: dessert chef and muffin baker Casey Feldstein puts on yarn retreats at a moody hotel and conference center on the tip of the Monterey Peninsula. And the tagline for Not Dead Again is: a foul weather turns to foul play when Casey and her retreat guests are stranded by a storm with a killer in their midst. And that's who I am.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. And 30 books. That's incredible.
Yeah, I kept thinking it was 29 because I was counting wrong, but yes, it is. And I was always excited about the idea of getting one book published.
I can understand that. So, is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
Well, yeah, the one of my series basically takes place at my house. I mean, not the people who live in my house really, but that's where the action happens. And pretty much all of the animals in my books, because there are a lot of everybody has a lot of pets in my all the series. They're all based on real animals that I've either known or have lived here.
Oh, that's great.
And each of the animals always has their own story too.
Oh, of course. There's times I've really wanted to write a cozy that has my red heeler dog in it, but oh, she's got such a personality. I don't think I could capture it right.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, when you're writing about real animals, it's you don't make them generic then. You make it sound like it's that particular animal, which I think makes it much better.
Right. So, do you have any advice for those who want to write or write cozies specifically?
Well, I think the advice that I would give is the advice that I gave to myself, and it's not really about cozies, it's about writing in general. My father was a writer, and he had to have everything just so that he could write. I mean, he had to have a certain place, a certain kind of situation, everything. And as a result, he obviously didn't write a lot of times because nothing, it's never that way. So I decided that I wanted to be able to write anywhere, anytime, and not be bothered by anything. So I've written with, plumbers hammering pipes in the background, roofers working overhead, and now I work with constant interruptions. My grandson and son live with us, and my grandson is 7, and he's always hungry, and he comes, always interrupts me saying he wants something to eat. And I do often wonder what he thinks I'm doing on my computer. But anyway, I think you have to be able to write under any kind of circumstances, that if you have to have, every your pencil sharpened a certain way or something, it just you defeat yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I heard somewhere that it's like the time is never gonna be perfect to write.
Right. That's absolutely true. And I mean, also, life intervenes. I mean, right now, we had a hot water leak under our floors. And so now we're like having to have all of our floors redone and everything. And I've got books due and everything. And so you have to work it out to figure out how you're going to manage with everything going on.
Oh, sheesh. To have to write with that going on, that's crazy, but I get it. I had to have my bathroom redone, and writing during that was,
Yeah.
oh, not fun.
Yeah, I've done that too. I had last year I redid a bathroom in an apartment I have in Chicago, and it was a production. But you figure out how to do it.
Right. So, do you have a favorite character in your series, or would you get in trouble with your other characters?
Well, the first series is a crochet series, and the protagonist, Molly Pink, is probably the one that I feel the closest to, because she was the first one, and she is the one who lives at my house. People who know me and know her think that we have some things in common, except, well, Molly is, aside from like solving murders, she also is involved in sort of a romantic triangle, and her husband's dead. My husband's alive. I mean, he thought when that book came out that I was planning to kill him, but I let him live. So, but she's probably the one. Although, I mean, I have an affinity for all of them, because especially because location's a big deal to me. And so, like, one series takes place in where I am in Southern California. The book that came out today, Not Dead Again, comes out. I'm sorry, takes place in on the Monterey Peninsula, and I guess that's actually, I call it Northern California, but it's really considered the Central Coast. Another series takes place in Chicago, which is where I grew up, and I still have a place, so I have an affinity for that. And this new series that I'm working on takes place in Indiana, about 50 miles from Chicago, also a place that I have a connection. So, as I said, I like to, location's a big deal to me.
Yeah, I can see that. That's awesome. So, would you say you have an author that's most influenced your writing?
Well, probably I would say it's Agatha Christie, because she was the first one. Well, I mean, I read Nancy Drew's, but Agatha Christie was really the first sort of mystery author that I really loved, and read lots of her books. Basically, when I'm working on a book, I tend not to write mysteries because I worry about something coming through from what I'm reading into what I'm writing, and I certainly don't want to take anybody else's stuff and put it in mine. So that when I'm working on something, if it's actually kind of hard to read, because I tend to read, I read and watch TV in the same way. It's like I have a whole inner dialogue going on as I'm doing that, like commenting on stuff, or like, especially with reading now, because it's horrible, but I'm like a constant editor in a way, thinking like about how somebody said something or how they described it. Do I like it or not like it or whatever? So it becomes hard for me to read when I'm working on a book, because I usually, after about a page, I want to get back to my own writing.
I can understand that, and also the editor to a degree, where it's just kind of like, well, would I have said it that way? And well, maybe not.
Well, also, a lot of times too, I'll think something that my editor told me not to do, I see somebody else do, and I go, well, they did it, so like, why can't I?
Oh, that is such an easy one to fall into, where it's like,
Yeah,
wait, why can't I get away with this?
I
So if you and your main character sat down for coffee or whatever your preferred caffeine intake is, what would you get and what would they get?
Well, the book that came out today, Not Dead Again, Casey Feldstein is stuck in this moody, slightly sinister hotel and conference center with a ro retreat guest, and there's a cafe that's in the main building of this hotel and retreat center that normally has a barista, but obviously because they're stranded there, the barista couldn't get there. So Casey is kind of taken over, teaching herself how to make espresso drinks on the espresso machine. So I would say she would make us both cappuccinos.
Oh, nice. Oh, a cozy mystery without a barista. Wow.
Yeah, all of my books, they're all big coffee drinkers. But I guess that's pretty common in it's funny because I think a lot of people don't drink a lot of coffee anymore, especially like a lot of younger people seem to not drink, or they drink like coffee drinks with all kinds of stuff in them.
Yeah, and yet with like cozy mysteries, even mine, the coffee shop plays such a huge role. It's practically a character in and of itself.
Right. Well, my mother was Swedish, so we always had coffee going at our house. So, I mean, to me, aside from like cozy mysteries, it's just like coffee has been a major part of my life.
So, when you're not writing, what other hobbies do you like to do?
Okay, well, all my books have yarn in them. So obviously I have an affinity to making things with yarn. And actually, I like to think that my life turned on a granny square. And I don't know if you know what a granny square is.
I do. I knit and crochet a little bit, so
Okay.
I know.
Okay, well, I had taught myself how to crochet, but I couldn't figure out how to make a granny square. And I've like somehow, ever since I've been a kid, I just have been fascinated by granny squares. I love them. I don't even know why, but something about the colors. And anyway, I learned how to sew when I was in high school. And so with sewing, you work straight across, and kind of with knitting in a way you do too. But I couldn't figure out how you could leave spaces, open spaces like there are in granny squares. Anyway, years went by, and at that time there weren't a lot of classes, and at least that I could find, about crochet or anything. And so it was kind of on a back burner until one time I was in Las Vegas. I was there with my husband for a convention, and he was busy with his things, and I was wandering around the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace, and there was a big FAO Schwartz, a two-story, actually three-story one, I think. Anyway, I love toys. I collect dolls and stuff. So I went into the FAO Schwartz thing thinking about looking at the dolls, and the way the store was arranged, you had to walk across each floor to get to the escalator to the next floor. So I was walking across the second floor, and I just happened to turn, and right next to me there was a kid's kit that said, "Learn how to make granny squares." So I mean, I was like, I couldn't believe it, because I figured if they could teach a 10-year-old how to make a granny square, it could teach me how to make one. Anyway, I bought the kit. And it took me a couple tries, but I learned how to make a granny square, and it was like suddenly the whole world of crochet was open to me. And that's where I got the idea. I was thinking about if I wrote a mystery and I put crochet in it, if nothing else, I would, spend a lot of time crocheting and learn how to do it more. And then it turned into a series, and then the rest is all, more series and stuff. But anyway, so it all really started with that granny square.
You never know where a
Right.
simple thing is gonna lead you.
Yeah, and I still love granny squares.
Oh, for me, the one stitch I have never been able to figure out is the magic circle stitch.
Okay. I understand why you had trouble with it. And the thing that helped me with it is it's actually the same as making a slip knot. It's just it's like you make a slip knot, but you kind of stick your fingers in it. And even now, because I've been making a lot of like little, I can't pronounce it right, but the little toys, like little
Yeah, I
animals and
know the
stuff.
ones you're talking about, the ones that it's, yeah, the word's like 14 letters long.
Yeah, it's like amigurumi or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, they all start with a magic circle, and each time I do it, I kind of have to learn all over again. But the thing that really did help me was when I start out, it's just like making a slip knot, and then it's you have to sort of figure out where to put this, not the working yarn, but the other the sort of like I guess I can't think of what it's called, but
The
over your
tail.
fingers, the tail, right? There are a lot, a lot of YouTube videos and stuff that you can watch too, but because once you figure it out, getting that first thing with the doing it like the Slipknot, it should make it easier for you.
I'll have to try that sometime. So, how can my snoops and sleuths follow you?
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook, Betty Heckman Author, and my website has all of my books and excerpts and stuff, and that's BettyHeckman.com. And it's HECHTMAN.com.
And I'll be sure to put those links in the show's notes.
Great.
Oh, I've had so much fun. I can't believe we're already at the last question. So, what is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
Well, I thought about that. Molly Pink, she's the one in the Crochet Mysteries, at the end of the 14th book, I really left her in a bad situation where she had to have a really uncomfortable conversation with somebody. And it really bothered me. And I was really glad that I left it to her to do and that I didn't have to write it because even thinking about it was upsetting me. So I think she probably would be pissed at me for like not for leaving her to handle it. Even though I'm just starting to write the 16th book now. So she got past it in the 15th book, and in the 16th book, she's even more past it. But as I said, I think that's where I mean, I know I was like bothered by it for a long time.
Oh, that's great though. I could just picture, like, if I did that to one of my characters, just being bugged where it's like, wait, you left me to handle this little situation you put me in. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Well, the thing was, I had thought I thought the 14th book was going to be the last one, and then I kept hearing from readers, people asking about like what was going to happen. So I continued it, and so when I left her that way, I didn't think I'd ever have to deal with it, but then it turned out I did.
Oh, the things that we authors put ourselves in sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes when you're writing, it's like, the characters just kind of take off on their own and they say stuff and do things that you weren't really thinking about. So, maybe it's their fault too.
Oh, don't I know that?
Yeah.
When I was writing like my second book, I love using this as an example because I write by the seat of my pants.
Right.
I thought I had figured out who the killer was going to be. I set up all the clues for it. Oh no. Character C over in the background all of a sudden steps up
Yeah.
like the emperor in the Emperor's New Groove and goes, I'm here. I did it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Yeah.
no, I didn't set up the clues for you.
Well, yeah, I also sometimes as you're writing, like in this book that I turned in a couple of months ago, there was a character who I was going to kill off. And I just couldn't do it because I thought he had possibilities for like getting a new life and everything else. And so instead of killing him, I put him in a coma. And well,
Nice.
I had another character too in a past book where my editor said, "You can't let her die." She said, "I like her too much." So I guess you have to change stuff as you go along.
Oh, yeah, that happens too, especially with editors.
Yeah, oh yeah, because they well, that's the whole thing too, is like, you're writing the book and you're sort of inside your own head, but you don't know how readers are gonna like they bring their own lives and baggage to it and everything, and so they may see it differently than you how you thought when you were writing it.
Right. Well, I've had so much fun talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you very much for including me, and I enjoy talking to you also.
Well, Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here on the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank you all for joining me on my journey. And if you'd like to listen to cozy mysteries read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rats Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.